So we are back in Romans, and we had started this, and then we took a break for the holidays, and so we're now back to it. We're making it up to Romans 8, and we're doing a chapter a week, which means it's not every single verse, but we're getting the meat of it. And the cool thing is, you've got access to a Bible, so if you want to know if we're skipping anything important, go back and read it. You got Romans 8. Do it. So, good news. We need good news. Some good news isn't good news. You go into the doctor, he says, hey, guess what? That thing you thought was gone is back. You're going to get an operation. That's not good news. The doctor's like, hey, yeah, it's good news for you. You're getting some money. You can get another boat. But for me, I'm going to be in the hospital, sucker. That is not good news. You walk in and your boss says, hey, got good news for you. We're going to give you a promotion. Oh, really? What's that about? Well, you're going to get a new title. Yeah, that's good. We got, you know, a little longer hours, a lot more stuff you're going to be doing and responsible for. Great. Any more money? No, but you're going to get a promotion. That's not good news. That's sucky news. From the Greek also. Or maybe you've been fertilizing your yard and you realize it's growing faster. It's growing crazy. It's growing like a weed because it's growing weeds and your fertilizer ain't working. You're like, crap, now I got to mow the yard more. That's not good news. Right? Some news is just not good news. We live in a world where everything is politicized. How many of you love that? You want to watch football and you want to be preached at about politics, right? You want a politician to tell your family members to come and talk to you at Thanksgiving about the politics of, that's not good news. Everything being politicized, I couldn't even spin that into good news. Good news ought to be good news. So if a doctor comes and says, hey, I got news for you. That thing is back, but this operation will take care of all the pain you've been feeling all those years, and it's not going to cost that much. That would be good news, right? That's good news. If you hear, hey, you're going to get a promotion, but really you're not going to be working as much, and it's higher up on the chain, but you're not as responsible for people. They're pretty good, and we're going to give you more money. That's good news. I can take that kind of news. That would be awesome. Or how about this? Your yard is growing faster because you've been fertilizing and it looks amazing and you have a kid who just turned old enough to start mowing it. Oh, looking at you kids. It's coming. It's coming. If your parents love Jesus, they're going to make you mow. It's coming. Yeah. And when everything is politicized, I can't turn that into good. That just sucks. It just does. Here's the idea. Gospel is good news. And if the gospel brings you continual guilt and condemnation, because some of you, like me, have been in churches like that. If the gospel of Jesus brings you continual guilt and condemnation, if it says you have to measure up to know God's love and grace, which, by the way, is a contradiction, it's not the gospel you're hearing, but the religion of man, and it's not good news. The gospel is good news. The gospel is freedom. The gospel is acceptance. The gospel is adoption into the family. So we're going to be in Romans 7, and let me remind you of where we've been, and then we'll give you the big idea and jump into Romans 8. Romans 7, Paul, speaking of when he was under the law, says this, I'm not doing the things I want to do. And I find myself doing the wrong things. What the frig? I'm on prednisone, by the way, so just if I get a little out, just pray for me. We'll bring it back in just a bit. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Like, I know the right things to do, and I cannot make myself do all of them. I know what I shouldn't be doing, but I keep finding myself doing it. This is him under law. And he finally says, I'm wretched, man. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And I love the very next verse. It says this, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is good. Jesus saved Paul from the Old Testament law and the religious rules and laws and regulations of man. And he has just covered that in 7. We'll get back to that. Thanks be to God that I'm no longer like that. I'm not under that thing. I can still struggle, but I'm not that guy anymore. I'm just going crazy. And Romans 7 tells us there's two things that Jesus did. He fulfilled the law by his life. He lived it out, lived it perfect, never once sinned, was perfect in the law. And he released us from the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, by his death and resurrection. We're no longer under it. And if you're a Gentile, you never were, but that's a whole other thing. God forbid, listen, that we would resurrect law when Jesus has done so much to save us from it. That sets you free. He says this, so then with my mind, I'm serving the law of God, with my spirit, But with my flesh, the law of sin, that's how he ends it up. So if I'm trying hard in the flesh to do well, I'm just going to grit my teeth, I'm going to white knuckle it, I'm always going to fall. And you know this. Some of you have struggled with addiction, a number of you. On any given Sunday, we've got a number of people that I know have struggled or are struggling with addiction. You know what it's like because you're like, no, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be, oh, crap, failed. Got to try over the next day and the next day. If you've ever tried to diet, always on Monday. It's good till about Tuesday, right? I know, sometimes Monday evening. I know, Ben and Jerry's is good stuff. I know. Trying to will myself to be good doesn't work. It never has. I can't do it. The mind doesn't control the flesh. It won't work. And so you need Jesus for that. And that catches you up to where we jump in. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this? Thanks be to God. And then we get to Romans 8. And here's the big idea for today. There is a place where you are free. There is a place where fear dies, where suffering produces a greater hope in you instead of just beating you down. There is a place where nothing can conquer you. This is good news. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's all of what Romans 8 is today. We will see this. So let's jump into Romans 8:1. We're caught up. Therefore, thanks be to God, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if I did, I bet a bunch of hands would go up of how many of us have been in churches in which we felt nothing but guilt and condemnation every time we went, right? Didn't measure up the whole thing. Oh, yeah. I didn't even ask you, and you're going like, yeah. Still got some PTSD from it? A little bit? Yeah. Every now and then I'll turn on the TV to watch a preacher just so I can feel guilty. Yeah. Therefore, because Christ paid off the righteous requirements of the law, you aren't under the control of the sin nature. You're not under its control. Condemnation, that word means a sentence that is handed down after a long deliberation and a sentence of or a verdict of guilt. There is no condemnation. Did you do it? Yeah, you've sinned, so have I. Are you guilty? Yes. Should sentence be taken out against you? Yes. But Jesus took your place, and you are justified, and it is as if you had never sinned, because he has borne that on the cross for you, and you are released. There is no condemnation. You are free. And some of us are still trying to pay God back for what we did yesterday, last week, last year, in our earlier lives. And Jesus is going like, why are you trying to pay? I've already taken care of that. What's wrong with you? House is paid off. Why are you still making the mortgage payments, bro? No condemnation. No condemnation. This is positional. This is in God's sight. There is no condemnation. Did you sin? Yes. Are you guilty? Yes. Does God see you as guilty? He sees you as righteous because of Jesus Christ. That's the God you serve, and that's the gospel that you and I believe in with all of our hearts. In Christ, you are free. Now listen, not to go on sinning. That's not the freedom. You're free not to go on sinning. In fact, if you know Jesus, your deepest desire is to follow him. Your surface and most urgent desire may be whatever you want to do in the moment, but your deepest desire will always be to follow him because he has a spirit living in you. He has changed you. You're free not to go on sinning, but to follow him without guilt or shame. And that means there's no treadmills and no towers allowed. Let me explain to you what I mean. Treadmills, I'm just going to keep doing what those religious people told me I need to do to please God, and it'll never be enough. It won't. You're always going to screw up some way. There's no treadmills. I got to keep following the rules. I screwed up and watched Friends one time. It's a secular show. Shouldn't watch that. Can't laugh at that. That's sin, brother. And no treadmills, no towers. So I'm on the treadmill running, or I'm on the tower looking down on others because I'm better than they are and putting my convictions and my rules on them. In Christ, there are no treadmills and no towers. There's simply the Word of God which sets you free. It doesn't set you free to sin. It sets you free to get rid of the things that displease God so that you can live in the freedom he died to give you. That's, by the way, one of the ways you know that you know Jesus, is you want to follow after him. Yes, there's another spirit in you, your human nature that wars against that, but you want to follow Jesus. You know the freedom. You know the peace and the joy when you do. There's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Old Testament law, try hard, in the flesh, do everything you can. New Testament law, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a red stain or something, and he washed it, it was white, it was like ice or something. It was really cool. The law of sin and death. Do the commandments or else. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, he's done it, and you're free. You're free. You're free from the Old Testament law. You're not under it. Sometimes I go crazy and wear mixed fibers on a Sunday. It's crazy what I do. I'm telling you, I have eaten pork after church. I didn't die. And lobster. I've even had shellfish. You're free from the rule and the reign of sin. You're free from the fear of death. Christ has set you free. For what the law could not do, since it was weakened by the flesh, God did. So God's law is good and it's holy, it's perfect. The thing is, you could never measure up. And so the law is good, but you weren't good enough. That's the equation. So here's what God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering. So what the law couldn't do, God did. And he condemned so that you can be uncondemned. Did you catch that? No condemnation, because God condemned sin in the flesh by his son going and being a sin offering for us. In order that the law's requirement, check this out, this is important. In order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The word fulfilled is plero'o. And it means literally accomplished, completed, done. Nothing more can be added to it. Completed, perfect is another synonym for it. In order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, let me follow this. Let me ask you a question. Is that then a conditional? In order to have the law fulfilled in you, is it conditioned upon you walking perfectly? Let me ask it this way. Is God's freedom, is that no condemnation on me? Is it dependent on my actions and my walk of faith? Because if it is, listen, then it's not good news. Are you with me? Like, if my being uncondemned, being free before God, accepted by God, is conditioned upon me, I'm back on the treadmill trying to please him, and I never will. Hold on to that. We're going to come right back to it here in just a moment. Here's what he said. In order that the law's requirement would be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, in the mindset of the flesh is death. I'm running after things that don't satisfy. I'm running after the very things that will cause death in relationships, death in my sensitivities and my love for others and in all those other areas of my life. But the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. When I'm walking with God, when my mind is set on him, he has renewed me. Changes everything. The flesh is I want, I need, I got to have. This would make me happy. I will do this for you, God. The Spirit is him. Lord, I submit. I'll take up my cross. I'll deny myself. I'll follow after you. And I'll do it imperfectly, but even then, you're good enough when I'm not. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. The religious mindset of the flesh is behavior modification. I'll change this. I'll do this. I'll be a nicer person. I'll be more kind. I'll be more patient. That's what I'm going to do for God. And you know what? It never works. I'm going to be kinder to my wife. Until I'm in a bad mood and we're not getting along too well. That never works. I'm going to spend more time with my kids. You know, when I get more time. Right now I'm busy playing Halo and I don't really have an Xbox. And yeah, the mindset of the flesh is I'm upset because all those people out there doing sins that aren't my sins. That's the mindset of the flesh. It is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law and indeed is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What that means is I need to stop trying to get to him in my own strength. There has to be a spiritual change. So is God's freedom conditioned upon my behavior, my walk of faith? Is God's freedom from being uncondemned or from being condemned dependent upon my actions and my walk of faith? You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives. You know what he just said? You're in the Spirit. You're not condemned if you walk in the Spirit. It just says here, you are in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh if the Spirit of God lives in you. This is positional. You are not in the flesh. This is what has already been done for you by Christ. Even if you struggle, the only thing you need is this. Does God's Spirit live in you? Have you come to know Christ? All right then, no condemnation. Free before God. Have you had second birth? Then you are uncondemned, period. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. stands condemned, guilty before God, headed to hell without Jesus. That's scripture. That's not Brian. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. So your body is spiritually dead, but you have life in you because of Christ's Spirit living within you. Follow me. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. What that means is you got a down payment, the Spirit living in you, and one day you've got the promise of heaven. The corruptible, the scripture says, will put on the incorruptible. Your body will be changed. And this body that hurts so much sometimes, this body that I fight against because I want to make it do what's right and it don't want to do what's right, that thing, over with. And he will raise me to perfection in that day. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but if you live according to the flesh, you won't die. We owe nothing to the flesh to live that way. We are set free from the demands of the sinful nature and man's religious rules and regulations. We're set free from that stuff. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Here's the thing. You're set free and empowered by God to go to war against the very things that produce death within you. And that's going to lead to life and peace. You're free. There's a place where you are free, and it is in Christ. And if you know him, you're set free. There's a place where fear dies, where suffering produces greater hope, where nothing can conquer you. Uncondemned, not guilty, fully accepted. And here's the thing. In this place, fear dies. Check this out. For all those who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Yeah. Fear of what? Fear of not measuring up. Fear of missing God, of missing out on his love and grace. If I don't do just right, God doesn't love me. I'm not fully accepted. I'm going to hide from him for a while until I get things right. No. I lack approval. No. You are God's sons, God's daughters. He adopted you into his family. A slave has to wonder, do I get to sleep in the house tonight or do I sleep outside? Did I do good enough? Am I approved? Am I going to get beaten today? Sons and daughters say, man, I got a God who is a good, good father. That's who he is. That's who he is. And I'm loved by him. That's who I am. Yeah. Idolatry. I want you to follow me on this. Because idolatry will counterfeit what God gives and produces slavery. Idolatry. I need to measure up. I got to be good enough for my husband or my wife to love me, for my kids, for my parents to love me. You have been taught that by our world. You got to be good enough. You got to measure up. Idolatry will teach us FOMO, fear of what? Missing out. But they got so much, and I'm getting older, and I need to get mine now while I can or else. But they're going to parties, and I'm sitting at home, but they got so much nice stuff. I saw their Instagram. It's amazing. Yeah, of approval. I got to get enough likes. I got to have them talk good about me. I have to have them like me. I have to have them approve of me. That's counterfeiting what you have, listen, in Christ right now. You have to measure up. Jesus measured up for you. Are you missing out? You ain't missing out on a thing. Even if it's a sacrifice to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow after him, you're getting the best life. You got life and peace. It's not about what you have or don't have, where you're going or not going. It's about who is in your heart and whether or not you got peace. You go a lot of places, have a lot of stuff, but you ain't got peace, don't mean a thing. And you don't have to live for anybody else's approval because you already have God's because of Christ on the cross. He fully accepts you and approves of you now. There's a place where you are free, no condemnation. Fear dies. Jesus is enough. So you don't have to be and never could be enough. For all those who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. All those led by God. All means all. That's all ever means. Every single person in here who knows Jesus. You're included in this. You're God's son, God's daughter. God's Spirit in you does not produce slavery. Man's religion will. Absolutely. Do these things. Follow this. Make sure you don't watch that. Don't go to that place. Make sure you read your Bible this much per day and pray that much. You reject it and you stand firm in who you are in Christ. Instead, you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Daddy! Oh, isn't that good? The creator of the universe, who dwells in unapproachable light, that God, you call him dad. You call him father. The one that, when a man reached out, Uzziah, just to touch and to steady the ark as it was being transported, God killed him. That God, because Jesus died on the cross for your sins, calls you in and says, man, come on, sit on my lap. Tell me what's up. I got you. I love you. You're mine. That's the God we serve. You are a full member in the house of God, a family member. The opposite of slavery. It's adoption. No second-class citizens, listen, in the kingdom of God. The ground is level at the cross. And just because somebody sins differently than you doesn't mean that they're less accepted or that you're less accepted. There's no imposter syndrome. Well, you know, but they're really good Christians, and I kind of struggle. No, no, no. We're all the same. We may struggle differently, and yes, sin should never be winked at and act like it's not a big deal, but we all struggle. There are no imposters. We're all fully accepted sons and daughters, walking imperfectly towards Jesus until the day that he takes us home. You're a full family member now, this moment, and that kills the fear because you can't listen. You can't mess it up, even if you think you can. Oh, that's good. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs. We're inheriting all that God has for us, some of it now with peace in our hearts, with the Holy Spirit living within us, with empowerment to live for him, absolutely. And some of it is later. And part of the now that we have, listen, is his presence and his help during suffering and hard times. Check it out. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so it may also be glorified with him. In the scriptures, it is always acknowledged that we're going to go through hardship, we're going to go through trial, we're going to go through suffering. And it's rarely that God causes it. It's usually just a part of living in a fallen world. If you got cancer, God probably didn't give you cancer. You just live in a fallen world and you got a messed up body like the rest of us, and that's okay because that's not where your hope is. And it's hard, I get that. We go through the trials, but there's purpose behind the suffering. In fact, we're going to get there in just a moment with Romans 8:28. We've talked about this before. Please don't go, that's okay, brother. All things work together for good. God's going to give you a promotion at work. Slap them. Do it in Christian love, but pray imprecatory prayers against them. Lord, bash your teeth in your mercy. No, it doesn't work that way. All things work together for good, so I just believe God's going to give you an even better job, and I just proclaim over you, you got perfect health from now on. It don't always work that way. I've seen that happen. I've been in church long enough, have you, that people proclaim those kind of things, and the opposite happens if somebody's out of work for 6 months or a year. They go to be with Jesus because they didn't get healed. There's purpose behind your suffering, and it doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect in this world. All things work together. Well, here's the context. We may suffer with him, so it may be glorified with him. Yeah, there is a place where you are free. There's a place where fear dies because you don't have to worry about whether or not God's going to accept you. There's a place where suffering produces greater hope, and that's where we are, and this is good news. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time... Hey, by the way, who's writing Romans? Paul. Paul go through some stuff? Yeah. Went through a lot of stuff, right? Beaten, cat of nine tails applied to his back more than once, ripped the flesh off his back, stoned and left for dead, and not stoned in any kind of way that would have made him hungry for pizza. I mean, he went through some stuff. You know what I'm saying? People rejecting him, death, murder plots, being in jail. He went through some stuff. It wasn't even 4:20 in the afternoon, and he went through stuff. Listen, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. He says, when you understand eternity, this stuff here, yeah, it's sucky and I don't like it, but it's nothing compared to what God has for us and what God is doing in us through it. No matter how bad it gets, it's nothing when you compare it to what's waiting in Christ. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Even creation, even the world itself has fallen. Not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. So you got the Spirit, that's your down payment. You're waiting for adoption. And you have it now positionally, but one day you're going to be face to face with your Father in heaven. And how amazing is that going to be? One day you're going to be free from that body of flesh that wants to walk away from God. You'll have experiential adoption. Now, in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes in what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. Hardship produces greater hope because we see the stark contrast between what we have and what we have to come. When you go through hardship, listen, if your eyes are on Christ, it produces in you a greater hope. You realize, man, this world is not where my hope ought to be. If anything 2020 could have taught us, this ain't my hope. If anything politics could teach me, this ain't my hope. If anything hard times teach us, this ain't my hope. And if it is, man, I am more to be pitied than anyone else. It produces in us that longing for the time we're with him. It produces greater hope. And it reminds me of Romans 8:28 and the verse that follows that gives the context. There is a place where you're free, where fear dies, where suffering produces greater hope, and nothing can conquer you. In the same way, let's go a little further. The Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. His presence, his love is saying, I'm here and I'm not against you, God says, I am for you. And that will always be true in some of us, because we grew up with a whole guilt complex, think that God is against us and angry and upset and somehow distant and displeased. Can I just tell you, that's not your God. He loves you. He wants you close. He is continually drawing if you will listen. He loves being with you. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Now watch this. Because he intercedes, he prays for the saints. That's you, according to the will of God. This is important. Because you're going to check this out. What suffering produces, as the Holy Spirit prays, he's praying according to the will of God. What is the will of God? Here we go. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. The context of this is suffering and hardship. You go through hard times, all things work together for the good. What is the good? Very next verse. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, here's the good, to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's not a guarantee that the cancer goes away. We hope it does. We pray for you. We'll walk through that with you. It's not a guarantee that he or she comes back and the relationship is restored. Sometimes you go through divorce and it hurts and it leaves scars. It's not a guarantee that that job is going to be your demotion as you're set up for your next promotion, brother. No. It's that God will take all of it and use it to conform you to the image of Christ, which is much more precious. And when you go through the hard times, then you got family to help walk through that with you. We become more like Jesus. That's our greatest blessing, and it glorifies God. That's the good that God is doing. I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. Yeah. For those who he predestined, he also called. Chose, called, justified, which means he declared you righteous. Those he justified, he also glorified. That's past tense. But what that means is positionally, right now in heaven, you're already perfect. Now, if he calls you that right now in heaven, is he not going to do that one day? Is he not going to get you there where you're finally sinless and perfect in his presence? Yes. This is all past tense. So positionally right now, you're glorified. That's perfect. Are you that way when you wake up in the morning? Ask your spouse. Before your first cup of coffee, you perfect? Oh, no, you may be Satan. Yeah. Yeah. Until that day, he is at work in us, and he will carry it to completion. There is a place where you're free, where fear dies, where suffering produces greater glory, and nothing can conquer you. Nothing can conquer you. Check this out. In the context of suffering, there is therefore there is no condemnation. That was verse 1. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? This is, again, context of suffering. We just talked about it. This is no guarantee that we won't face hard times. Don't use these verses like that. We just talked about the hard times. It's no guarantee. This is about no condemnation, about God's blessings in Christ. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him grant us everything? That everything is freedom from fear and accusation, pointless suffering, suffering without purpose. failing and falling and feeling like we're gone too far to be considered his child. Those things die as you know Jesus. Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. He's talking specifically about the enemy. I can't believe you'd call yourself a Christian and you do those things. You shouldn't even be in church. That's the enemy. He's the accuser of the brethren. Who can condemn? Who can bring an accusation? God has already declared you righteous. He's spoken, you are righteous in Christ right this moment. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. If God doesn't pronounce you guilty, and he's the only one who matters, who could pronounce you guilty and mete out justice? In what court could that happen? It can't. No one, spiritually speaking. The enemy is a liar. You rebuke him and you stand firm in what you know to be true. Oh yeah, you're right, absolutely. I'm a total screw-up. You know what? God shows me, he loves me, I'm forgiven. Absolutely, I agree. I'm messed up. God loves me. And I don't have to accept what the enemy puts on me, whether it's him himself or through people. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction, can distress, can persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? Notice it does not say that Christians won't face these things. And historically they have, and right now in our world they're facing these things. It says that those things can't separate you, make you less accepted and loved and adopted with a future and a hope. There is a place where you're free, where fear dies, where suffering produces greater hope, and nothing can conquer you. As it is written, watch this, Paul's day, Paul's age, Nero getting ready to slaughter Christians by the dozens. Because of you, we're being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No guarantee everything goes well in this world. The guarantee is Jesus is with you, and this isn't where your hope is. You got better things waiting. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what that includes? You. You're not powerful enough to separate yourself from a God who adopted you in spite of you. You're not. You're not powerful enough to lose his love because it was never about you. It was about him and his love and his son dying on the cross for you. I can't separate me from God. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Either that's true or it's not good news. You are inseparable from God's love. They can't take it from you, and you can't listen. You can't screw it up. That's good news. Oh yeah, you can walk away from God and experience his discipline because he disciplines those he loves. But you're not going to screw up his love for you. You're just going to mess up the blessing of walking in and understanding it and feeling it and knowing it. You're free, man. There's no condemnation, no fear. You're a child regardless. Yeah, hardship will come. It does for all of us, but it'll also go. And God will redeem it in your life. And you're a conqueror in Christ. Nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing can separate you from his love. And if you think it can, you're listening to somebody who's lying to you. You rebuke those lying thoughts and you know that Jesus loves you. He chose you. He predestined. He called. He justified, which means declared you righteous. He glorified. It's already done in heaven. You're perfect. If he did that positionally, he will get you there experientially. Man, that's good news. There is a place where you're free, where fear dies, where suffering produces greater hope, and nothing can conquer you in Christ. So you remind yourself, you spend time in the Word, you spend time in prayer because your world is going to give you a different view of every single one of those things. You spend time in prayer, you spend time in worship, you spend time in fellowship, which is part of church. We love that sort of thing. Else you'll forget who you are and what you have in Christ. There's a lot of news that isn't good news. It really isn't. I don't know what's happening in the nation. I'm just glad my hope isn't there. The gospel of Jesus Christ is always good news. And if it's not, it's not gospel. And God has called you to walk in that you would be free, that you would know that you're accepted. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. That you would know that the suffering, the hardship you go through, God is using in your life to conform you to Christ and producing in you a greater hope. that you're more than a conqueror in Christ. If you don't know him, today's the day to come to know him. If you do, today's the day you say, Lord, I'm giving you everything. I don't need all these things I think I'm missing out on. I don't need acceptance and approval. I have it in you. Today's the day you just remind yourself who you are in Christ. Let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll see if there's questions, comments, and disagreements. Holy Father, in the quiet.